Good morning. If I can have your attention, please. I want to welcome you to this very special Sunday school hour. And I don't want to waste 1 minute of it, so we're going to start with a prayer, and then I will make introduction. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, how very good it is to be in your house this morning, in the warmth of Christian fellowship and love on such a cold winter morning. How good it is to gather and offer our praises to you, for you are the goodness in all that comes our way. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your kindness, and for your love. Thank you for the ways that you have worked in each of our lives. And particularly this morning, we thank you for the ways that you've worked in Mike King's life. As we welcome Mike and listen to his story, may our ears and our eyes, our minds and our hearts be open to what you would say through him. And may we allow what we learned from Mike's experience with disability, with life's opportunities, and with spiritual journey to mold and shape us for kingdom service. Amen. Our guest speaker this morning is Mike King, and we are absolutely delighted to have him with us this morning. A little bit of background. Mike currently works currently works for Johnny and Friends of Eastern PA as community resource coordinator. That's Johnny, as in Johnny Erickson Tata, and many of you know part of her story. He also works part-time in his family's business, Moccasin Run Golf Club, and he teaches adaptive skiing right out here at Ski Round Top. But Mike is probably best known for what's called the Challenge of a Lifetime, which was his wheelchair trek from, if you can imagine, Fairbanks, Alaska, all the way across the country to Washington, D.C. It's pretty amazing. He's got a book that's called The Mike King Story, which details that incredible journey. As a wheelchair athlete, Mike has competed in the Pan American Games and had, in 1992, was the gold medalist in the pentathlon event in Venezuela. He also placed fifth in Holland in the World Games. Quite an athlete. I was privileged in October, I believe, to hear Mike speak at a banquet, and I was very inspired by his powerful message of hope that he delivered that night. I have to be honest and tell you that I don't know exactly what Mike is going to speak about this morning, but I am certain that it will be inspired by God and that we will be blessed for having heard it. So I present to you Mike King.
Well, thank you. And good morning to everyone. It's an honor and a pleasure to be out here to share my testimony mixed in with the ministry that I work with, Johnny and Friends. And it's exciting to be able to work for a ministry like that that reaches out to families and individuals affected with disability. Before I get gone with that, though, what time is this? The Sunday school period over? 10:30? Okay. Just wanted to time things out so I can get everything in. But again, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Johnny and Friends has become very special to me. And I met Johnny a long, long, long time ago, actually before my accident, at Lancaster Mennonite School. They had a thing there where she was doing her mouth painting. And I was there to watch it, never realizing that 2 years later, I would end up having a motorcycle accident, breaking my back, severing my spinal cord, where I would end up being in a wheelchair. And although I have heard of Johnny through the years, it was very exciting back in the early 90s to finally meet her and talk with her as I was sharing at our family retreats that Johnny and Friends here in Pennsylvania holds. And you'll see a little more about that later on with the DVD that I have, but meeting her there, it just sparked that interest of, you know, maybe why certain things happen to people and how God can use difficult circumstances. If your attitude is proper and correct, God can use difficult circumstances that would seem like would destroy the rest of your life to encourage other people. And I believe that's what the gospel is all about. That's what God's word is all about, is teaching us and training us that in spite of what happens to us in this world, God still loves us. He still cares for us. And he shows us that through people. And you'll hear in my testimony that people have made such a big impact in my life that I can't not express that when I share my testimony and my life with other people. And you heard in my introduction of that crazy wheelchair trip that I made back in 1985. And a lot of people joke with me, especially my family, that as you get older in life, you become more wise. I don't know if I could do something like that anymore in my life. Do the crazy things that I did when I was track and field competitions and racing. And I met one of the old, I shouldn't say old, but Charlie Ryder. He was one of the officiators at all these track meets that I used to compete in. And I recognized his face when he met me here this morning when I came in, but I couldn't have said where it was. But I don't know if he DQ'd me any times or not. I don't remember any of those experiences. But what a great, tremendous, exciting time that I had competing in wheelchair sports. And although I don't do it full-time anymore like I did back in my younger days, I still am involved in it. I still am doing it. I do one or two marathons a year just because I love to race. I love getting out there and riding my hand cycle. And that energy, that excitement, or that just that mellow feeling that I get being out there and training and competing in sports. It was April 30th, 1985, when I started my trip out of Fairbanks, Alaska to Washington, D.C., not really realizing what I was going to get into at that time. And the experience started as actually a race from downtown Fairbanks to the town of North Pole with about five other wheelchair athletes from the Fairbanks area. And I can't remember if I won that race or that part of it or not, but I used the excuse that I had to keep going another 60 miles that day yet after that five-mile race. But as we left North Pole, Alaska, and heading down the Alaskan Highway, I became frustrated at not being able to compete or not being able to go as good as I thought I could. And at the end of day one, I realized I was 15 miles behind schedule and trying to figure out why am I not being able to push like I did when I was training or around home here in my home area in Chester County when I was getting ready for that trip. And I didn't realize it then, but I was going to discover a treasure that I would never forget for the rest of my life. Pushing a racing chair 5,600 miles, I found out that your body's joints are not mechanically created for that. And it takes wear and tear on your hands, your elbows, your shoulders, your wrists. And I was frustrated physically and emotionally not being able to compete the way I thought I could. My brother Kurt and my cousin James Grable, who were with me at that time, in the van that followed me, carrying spare wheelchair parts and food and water, stuff that I would need throughout the day, would come out to me and say, what do you want us to do? Can we push you up some of these hills? Can we help you out? I'd get angry and I'd say, no way, you can't push me. I'm supposed to be doing this trip myself. Kurt would back off and say, okay, just asking. You know, it's good my brother was along with me that first part of the trip, because I could get angry, I could express my frustrations at him, and we could still be friends, still communicate, because we knew each other. We grew up with each other. Then I started to get blisters on my hands. And that really frustrated me, because when you're pushing your wheelchair with blisters on your hands, it makes it more difficult. It makes it hurt all the more. And I'm trying to figure out, why can't I go like I could when I was training? Is it the way the chair's set up? Is there something different we can do with that? Well, at the end of day two, I realized I was about 30 miles behind schedule. That evening, my brother Kurt and cousin spent part of that evening readjusting the racing chair that I was in, trying to see if my seating position adjustment would make it a little easier. And as I started out day three, I'm thinking to myself, why is this chair pushing even harder today than it did yesterday? And about 10 miles down the road further, I seen my tires were starting to wear out. And as I looked back behind me, I could see the mark on the road from where my chair or the wheel marks were coming down the highway. And it dawned on me. We forgot to change the toe in and toe out of the chair when we lowered the seat position. So it was actually causing more friction and more difficulty. That evening, I ended up having open blisters on my hands and was about 50 miles behind schedule. Well, I was thinking that evening that I'm going to have to call Myron, the fellow that helped me organize the trip, and getting this whole thing started, and I'm going to have to tell him that I can't make it. I'm going to have to quit. And it frustrated me having to do that because all these people back home were encouraging me and supporting me and praying for me. But, you know, that's what made the difference. And day four was a pivotal turning point for me because not realizing all the things that were going to happen that day, but that evening before, as I was getting some sleep, Kim and her mother, which is a girl and her mom from Delta Junction, Alaska, had passed us on the highway, seen the signs on the van and the whole thing, and were wondering what was going on. And they stopped. We were staying in the town of Delta Junction that evening, so they looked us up where we were staying, and it's not hard because Delta Junction isn't that big. It's a little farmer's co-op, a grain elevator, a little Tasty Freeze, I remember, and a small hotel room and a gas station and a couple of houses. So it was easy to find us, and they looked up Kurt and James, and they asked if they could come out and ride bike with me that next day. Kim had talked with her classmates from school that they wanted to come out and find out more about this guy coming down the highway in his wheelchair. Well, they told him it'd be great for him to have some company out there. So the next day, myself not knowing what was going to happen yet, I remember that morning starting off with frustration, wondering what this day was going to be like, already being behind schedule, my hands hurting, and arguing again with my brother about how to best tape up and wrap up my hands as I was getting ready to start down the highway. As I come around the turn in the road, about 2 miles down the road, I seen this group of kids waiting by the road with their bicycles. And as I got up to them, I stopped, and of course they introduced themselves to me as the junior and senior class from the high school in Delta Junction. And I asked them, how comes you didn't have to be in school? And they said, well, we told our parents to tell the school we were going to come out and ride bike with this guy coming down the highway in his wheelchair. My first thought was, if it had been that easy to get out of high school, I probably wouldn't have been there too much myself. But I remember that day going by before I even realized it. My brother pulled up beside me in the afternoon, and he said that I had 60 miles in. Did I want to call it a day, or did I want to keep going? Well, Kim's parents made arrangements to come pick them up in their pickups at about 6 o'clock that evening. So since it was only 5 o'clock, we decided to keep going and get some extra miles in. But what made that day so much easier than the days before? And that evening, as I was trying to fall asleep, because the sun doesn't set till about 11 o'clock in Alaska at the beginning of May, and I'm laying there thinking about that day. Why did that day go so much easier than the 4 days before? And I thought of a passage of Scripture in Philippians 3 where it says, forgetting what lies behind and striving forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I realized that those words, forgetting what's behind you and looking forward to what's ahead, is what I was doing that day. And that passage of Scripture was not only useful to myself that day, but it can be useful for all of us in our life if we just can forget what's behind us, forget those difficult times we go through, and look ahead to what is out there. What is out there waiting for us? And I believe God brought those high school students into my life that day because he knew I needed some encouragement. He knew I needed a support. He knew I needed a little kick in the pants, if you want to call it that. And he provided that through those students just by them asking me questions of what it's going to be like when you get to Lancaster County. What's it going to be like when you get to Washington, D.C.? Is President Reagan going to be out there to meet you? A lot of questions I didn't have answers for, but it kept my mind focused on where I'm trying to go instead of the struggle that I'm going through. And that's the treasure that I learned that day, that if I can keep my mind focused out ahead and look positively at where God is trying to lead me, it can help me get through those difficult times, especially when you're affected with disability. And that was the turning point for me in that trip. Sure, there were still difficult times. There were still struggles I went through. But, you know, God brought me through those struggles by bringing people into my life. Now, anyone who knows my story knows that I finished that 5,605.8 mile trip right on schedule, right on time. And people that came into my life that summer helped me get caught up with mileage I was behind just by getting me excited about what I was doing again. And really, that's what the ministry of Johnny and Friends is all about. It's reaching out to families and people affected with disabilities and helping them to see that you can still have fun. You can still enjoy life. Sure, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be difficult times. But you can get out there and enjoy it if you have that support group, that family, those people behind you. Johnny and Friends operates on a vision statement that says to accelerate Christian ministry in the disability community, and a mission statement of to communicate the gospel and equip Christ-honoring churches to evangelize and disciple people affected by disability. Now, I believe this doesn't mean just to preach the gospel to people, but it also means to reach out to those people, to get your hands dirty, to want to help those people. And, you know, Johnny said some words in a talk that she gave over in Holland that says, I don't need physical healing as much as I need spiritual healing. I love that statement. I don't need physical healing as much as I need spiritual healing. God has not provided me with physical healing, but he has provided me with spiritual healing. And I have a positive attitude about life. I love life. It's exciting, especially with the technology they have today, and still getting out there and having fun. Whether it's in racing chairs, still being able to compete like a runner does, or whether it's on my hand cycle, riding my bike down the road, good exercise, just getting out and getting away from all the hassles of life, or whether it's my most favorite sport of snow skiing and getting out there and coming down the hill again on a ski. One single ski that most people use two to stand on. We just ski on one. And why it is so much fun for me is because it is the one sport that I've competed in and done again since my accident that still feels the same as when I was a stand-up skier. And it's exciting to know that technology can allow people with disabilities to get out there and still have fun. But, you know, if you don't reach out and meet those physical needs of the person affected with disability, or even everyday people, if you don't meet their physical needs when they're struggling, how can you possibly help with their spiritual needs? I praise God that people showed me they cared about my physical problem. They reached out to me. They helped me financially when insurance didn't cover all my bills through that accident experience. And they helped me out with just encouragement at times when I was in very good company to be around. I know that might be hard for you to realize. But yeah, I was a real pain in the butt for a while because I was angry. I was angry at God. I took it out on people. But it's the love that they showed back to me is what showed me that God is a loving God in spite of the difficult times we go through. And that's what made the difference. That's what made me want to, in turn, share that back with other people. Family retreat is one of the ways we try to do that at Johnny and Friends. And I'd like to show you the DVD of our family retreat up in Spruce Lake, Pennsylvania, which is just north of Stroudsburg, up there in the Poconos. It's a great way to show families what the love of God is all about, because we minister to the whole family and not just the individual. It's just an idea of what our family retreats are like. We do 3 weeks every summer at Spruce Lake Retreat up in the Poconos. And we have volunteers come in, whether it's the programming we do in the mornings for adults, for junior high, for elementary, for preschool, and youth and young adults. We give encouragement, scripture, Bible teachings, but it's the whole family that comes, It's not just a person with the disability. Because too often we forget that it's not just the person that has the disability that's affected, but it is the whole family. And if you don't minister to the whole family, the siblings feel left out. And that's an emphasis we put in this year's family retreat, which you saw there, the mud pit that we had. Giving the siblings, the brothers and sisters, because I really wouldn't want to go down in there in my wheelchair. I'd have to be lifted back out. But it was for the siblings. And they expressed so much gratitude that we reached out to them, that we gave them some special attention. Because if you think about it, they get kind of put to the wayside because the kid with the disability takes so much attention. So it's not just the one person that's affected. It's everyone. And it can even go broader with the whole church is affected if the family attends the church. And that's one way churches can get involved with our ministry is by supporting a family that they may know to come to family retreat. Because unfortunately, it's not free. It does cost money to come to put on the programming that we do. But it's a ministry that I believe is so important because it's what gives that family the courage to go through the rest of the year. And so many families have expressed that to us as we have a sharing time that last day for the families to express concerns. And we pray with them. And it makes such a big difference because it gives them the courage to go through that whole next year with the struggles they may encounter. It's not easy, but it can be good if you have that support group and if you allow the love of Jesus to shine through you. Well, from Family Retreat, we also do ministries in our area. One's called the Day of Pampering, and this is just for the moms or wives that take care of maybe their husband with a disability. And I just got married this last year, so my wife was asking me, well, do I get to go to the Day of Pampering now? I said, sure, if you want to. But it's the Day of Pampering that we have is a great experience. And I don't know if he's showing the PowerPoint pictures there. Yeah, but it's at Manor Church is where the one in Lancaster is held. And it's a day where, like I said, the moms or the wives come and we have beauticians, manicurists. I don't know what all that stuff is. I guess that's the manicurist doing the nails, massage therapist, that give special treatment to these ladies. But we don't just go that far. We have prayer partners that can pray with you, that can listen to your concerns. We have counselors that are there for the day, for the people that they want to share more deeply and maybe get some counseling and some help. But it's a day that the parents can just forget about the worries of the world and come and be treated, can be pampered. The one we do in Lancaster fills up in like a week as soon as we announce when it is. We're already starting about thinking of doing two back-to-back days. But the neatest thing about the one that my coworker started in Lancaster is that it spread to the tri-state area. Five other churches who have done this on their own for people in their communities. And it's just one small way. Sure, it takes some organization, but it's one small way that you can reach out to the people in your community and show that you notice the struggle they go through, that you want to help them, you want to give them some encouragement. Along with Day of Pampering is what we call special delivery. And it's where individuals can put together their own gift basket and visit those that can't get out. Or you can call Johnny and Friends here in Lancaster, and we'll send you some books, some reading materials, little knickknacks and things that we get. And this is all free of charge that we send out for special delivery. But naturally, if you're going to put together your own gift basket, it's going to take some dollars to put together those things. But you never believe the ministry that spending 15, 20 minutes, a half hour with a person that can't get out or a person that's affected by disability or their family, the kind of encouragement that that can give. Our worldwide ministry is called Wheels for the World. And Lancaster office is in charge of taking 400 to 500 chairs every year to the country of China There's 13 other countries that are ministered to as well by the different area offices throughout the United States. But Lancaster goes to China every year, usually in May, for 2 weeks and distributes wheelchairs to people that don't have the insurance or the means to purchase them. And it reminds me of the story that I heard from the team that went to Peru the 1 year that met a lady by the name of Angelica Ramirez. And that team, the testimony that they shared with us out at our national conference in California, just brought tears to my eyes. And the story goes like this. They said Angelica is a 25-year-old woman who lives in the mountains of Peru and has had cerebral palsy and epilepsy since birth. For most of her life, she laid in her bed every day, and her only entertainment was watching the shaft of the sun move across her bedroom. On the morning of the Johnny and Friends wheelchair distribution in Peru, Angelica's mother wrapped her daughter in a white mattress pad so that her brother could carry her down the mountain because they were hoping to receive a wheelchair. Well, the team happened to have a recliner wheelchair with an extended headrest, which is very unusual because normally we don't take those types of chairs along on trips because there's just too many parts that can go bad. But this team, for some reason, took that one particular chair along on this trip. And as Angelica was placed in that chair, everyone gasped because it fit her perfectly. They had to make hardly any adjustments to it. And when the team gave Angelica's mom a Bible in Spanish, she broke down and began crying. Well, the team right away thought it was because she received a Bible in Spanish. But she said, no, you guys don't understand. I've been praying for 20 years for a chair for my daughter. And finally, God has answered my prayer. And she said, now I don't have to worry about taking her to church because I can take her to church. I don't have to find someone because I can push her to church very easily now. I think of that story. And I think of how often we pray for needs or things in our life, but we give up on them. She prayed for 20 years for a chair, and God finally answered her prayer. Why did God wait so long? I don't have the answer to that. I don't understand why God waits so long to answer some people's prayer. And sometimes maybe that particular prayer doesn't even get answered. But I do know that prayer makes a difference. And by her being so diligent in her prayers, God finally answered it for her through the people at Johnny and Friends. A.J. Russell has a quote in his book, God Calling, that says, in order to conquer adverse circumstances, one must first conquer themselves. Doing disability ministry in and through your life will require you to conquer fears and discomfort, and maybe even the fear of getting your hands dirty. That story reminds me that attitude, having the right attitude, can lead to true joy through prayer, through patience, and through perseverance. Angelica's mom was very persevering in her prayer, but she was also patient. And it finally was answered for her. Since working with Johnny and Friends, I myself have had to come out of my comfort zone. I'm not very good at sharing one-on-one with people about the love of God, unless I'm asked to do it. And I believe that God wants us, just as he did when he, as Jesus called his disciples, to be fishers of men and women and children, boys and girls, youth and young adults. We need to share what God has done for us in our life with other people because that's what makes the difference. That's what brought me to where I am today. I hate to think of where I might be in my life if my friends, my family, people from my church would not have reached out to me, would not have encouraged me, would not have sometimes just come and said, hey, you're going out whether you want to or not. And that's what it took to get me over that feeling of I'm inferior. I'm not the same person I was after my accident. And my friends and my family showed me that. And it gave me the courage to want to reach out to other people, to want to share my life with them. I became a competitive wheelchair racer as a result of that trip in 1985. And as you heard in the introduction, I had a lot of fun racing chairs. I had a lot of fun competing against other wheelchair athletes. My only regret from that time in my life is that I wasn't courageous enough to let those people know that God made the difference. That's my only regret of those years I had competing. I love competing. One thing I do today is try and let people know, whether it's teaching skiing on the slope or whether it's training other wheelchair athletes, it's letting them know that God makes the difference for me. He's not going to answer all your problems, but he can make the difference. And that's a challenge. That's a struggle because, I don't know, I have this feeling of I don't want people to think I'm weird or different. But if you're courageous enough to let people know that God makes a difference, sometimes it opens that door to dig in further, to help them through their struggles. I had the opportunity to train a young girl a couple years ago. She is now a junior at the University of Illinois and is the number one ranked women's wheelchair athlete in the United States. I met her when she was in sixth grade, and the first year training her, all I did was sit at the track and time her. She was coming around. She looked that little and that frail that I thought, she's really not going to go very far. Well, she had fun that year. And the next year when I was asked to train her again, I figured this is stupid, me sitting here by the track. Why don't I get back in my racing chair, which I had quit racing for like 2 years because of injuries and tendonitis problems that I was having. Why don't I get back in my racing chair and push with her on the track instead of just sitting out here? That's when she really started to excel. And it reminded me again that if you walk beside a person, if you roll beside a person, it makes a big difference. That encouragement goes back and forth. We spent that year training together. The next year even got better yet. We started getting out on the road and doing road workouts. And when she got into high school and we started doing road races instead of just the track and field competitions, she really started to excel. And as I mentioned, she was at the Beijing Olympics this past year and took gold in the marathon, gold in the 1500, and silver medal in the 800 and bronze in the 4x400 relay. What a tremendous athlete she's turned into. Not because of what I taught her, but because of the courage she had inside of her. And all it took was a friend walking beside her or rolling beside her to help bring that out. And so often that's what it takes in our life. And that's what we try and do at Johnny and Friends. But the best thing about that experience is that she now is training other wheelchair athletes, other kids in programs that the University of Illinois has. She's using her life to benefit somebody else. So that's what Christianity, that's what sharing your life with another person can do. That ripple effect. And if you all here at your church can just reach out a little bit to help the person next to you, that can be passed on to the next person and the next person. And before you know it, you're doing disability ministry. Or basically, you're just doing ministry, whether it's disability ministry or whether it's ministry in general. That's what God wants from us. That's what God wants us to do. That's why it's exciting for me to work in a ministry that works with people affected with disability. I've been through it. God has brought me through it on the positive side. And I want to pass that on to the next person so that they can not only become stronger themselves, but they can pass it on to the person that helps them. A passage of scripture that means a lot to me, and I think of it often. I thought of it often when I was racing competitively, because I believe that it's what an athlete needs to do in order to make himself strong. Romans 5 verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's through him we have obtained access to his grace, in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of sharing the glory of God. But more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been given to us through the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ. When I first read those words, we can rejoice in our suffering, I said, how in the world can you rejoice in your suffering? The first thing I thought of was when I was still walking, jumping up and stubbing your toe. Well, have you ever said praise the Lord when you've done that? Probably not. But you know, maybe the Apostle Paul wasn't exactly talking about that. But he was talking that you can rejoice in your suffering because God can pull you through it. And he can use that experience to further his kingdom. And I saw that in my own life. That because of what I went through, I've been given the opportunity to meet many, many people affected with disability. And not that I'm any special person, but God has ministered through me to another person to encourage them. Whether it's wheelchair athletes, whether it's people that I meet at camp through the summer and just doing mediocre recreational activities with them, whatever their capabilities are. And that's the most important thing. Even though you have a disability, God wants you to look at their ability. Everybody has some ability in their life, but you got to believe it. And sometimes it takes people to draw that out of you to make that happen. That's the challenge that I hope I've left with you this morning, is that God wants to use your life. He wants to minister through you. One of the last elements of Johnny and Friends is our Through the Roof ministry. And it's where we go into churches, and we don't give them all the answers because we don't have all the answers. But we give them practical applications of how they can do disability ministry. The reason we call it Through the Roof ministry is because we don't believe there's any limit. Look at what those friends of the paralytic did in the Bible. They opened the roof up, lowered the man down, so that he could meet Christ. That's what disability ministry is all about. It's giving people the opportunity to meet Christ. And the practical application we give is a general application for different disabilities, ideas, suggestions, what to look for, what not to do with people affected with disability. And it gives churches a start for how to minister to people in their community. The literature that I have along is about the programs of Johnny and Friends. You're welcome to take whatever you want. Family retreat. If you know of a family that could use that kind of encouragement, there's still openings for our retreats this summer. They do fill up quick. We're already looking at doing a week 4 because of how quick our retreats are filling up. But it's a great ministry. It's a great way churches can reach out to families in their community, giving them a place where they can come and feel that they're the same as everybody else. And that's one of the things I remember in my life after my accident was I'm thinking that I'm different. I'm not the same person anymore. But God showed me through people that I am the same person. I just go through life sitting down now instead of standing up. But I'm still Mike King. That didn't change. And praise God, people showed me that. And that's what we try and let families know, that you have an extra obstacle that you're living with, but you're still people. People are people with disabilities, not disabled people. And it's important to remember that. Sometimes we get too hung up on terminology, but God wants to share his love with you, and he wants to minister to you. I always like to leave some time for questions, which I believe we have about 5 minutes. If you have any questions about Johnny and Friends, about the programs, maybe a particular thing you're looking for, or even about my life, the trip that I made, whatever. I don't mind talking about anything. I have no bad feelings about my accident, working through all those difficulties. Maybe you know someone that's a paraplegic and they need some encouragement. How do you talk to people like that? What kind of encouragement do you give them? I should have brought it in here because I'm going, it's out in the back of my truck right now. I'm going to a clinic in Western Pennsylvania that I help teach at every year, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's run by the Three Rivers Adaptive Sports Organization in Pittsburgh. But the unit that we sit in sits about that high off the ground. It's actually got one single ski underneath it. And that whole unit that I'm sitting in, the seat is made, most famous people get a bust made of their head and shoulders. I got a bust made of my rear end because that's how they make the seat that you sit in. As a stand-up skier, your boot is very important because if your boot's too big, your foot moves in it and you don't exert that energy into your ski. Well, that seat that I'm sitting in is like the boot on your foot. When I twist my head and shoulders, like my chair's moving, I need to transfer that energy right away through my seat, through that frame down to the ski. So that seat that I'm sitting in, that is all one unit. It has a motorcycle shock on it, which simulates knee movement. So when you're cranking into a turn, you can compress the shock. When you release the edge of the ski, that shock kind of gives you that lift that your knees actually do, and you go back and you go into the other turn. I ski from shoulders to hips. You ski from shoulders to ankles. So it's the same technique. You just do the hockey stop. The whole learning process is a little harder because you don't have that snowplow effect to keep your speed down. And that's where the difficulty comes in learning how to use this, because naturally you're balancing on one ski. So I have poles. The poles on my arms are like Canadian crutches. They have the forearm cuff with the handle on them, and they got short skis on the end of them. And when I get to the lift line, I can pull the string, and they flip up like crutches, so I push myself through the lift line. And getting on the chair, it's all a timing mechanism that when the chair is coming, I give myself a lift up to get that thing. The chair lift comes right in underneath the seat and just picks the whole unit up off the ground. And when you get to the top, you just throw your weight front, and it like a seesaw drops off, and you're ready to ski down the hill again. The technology that went into it is just amazing. And the exciting thing for me is starting at day one when skiing came into the United States. It started in Europe first. So seeing the progression from the equipment we used back in the late 80s to where it is today has just been amazing. I went from a 40-pound unit to a 25-pound unit. So just that weight change makes the skiing and the turning so much easier. But, yeah, it's a fascinating piece of equipment. Well, thank you so much for inviting me out to share with you this morning. I hope my message was informative as well as encouraging. But, you know, as I mentioned, you don't need to do anything special to do disability ministry. You just need to reach out to people. Let them know you care. Let them know you want to help. What can I do for you?